Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello and welcome to another hour of Tech Talk. It is I, Stephen Scott, back with you once again today. And we have lots to talk about, as I'm sure you can imagine. In the lead up to the big Apple event. Robin Christofferson's here from AbilityNet. Hello to you, Robin.
Hello, Stephen.
And we get Tim Schwartz back with us from lifeafterblindness.com. Tim, lovely to be back here.
It is lovely to be back. I am happy to be here. And you didn't do the .com. I don't know what to do this.
Hang on. Here we go. From lifeafterblindness.com. There we go. I still have no idea what that means, but I just...
I don't know. You get all excited. I don't know.
I do.
But I stepped away for a week and I had some family time. And it seems that I can't leave you guys alone for 1 week. Everything just goes crazy. All heck breaks loose. I mean, come on now.
Well, to be fair, to Robin and I, it's all Sean Preece's fault. I mean, basically that's it. It's all his fault.
We can say that because he's not here.
Exactly. True. Or is he? No, he isn't. Not this week, sadly. But we will have Sean back. It's funny, we've had a lot of people saying, you know, we'll get Sean back on the show. And I'm like, yeah, do you know what? No. Anyway, listen, we are very excited this week, especially about the Apple event this time around. We're going to get into that and why we're all excited. Well, I say all of us, one of us in the team here is not particularly excited.
Yawn.
I don't know what is wrong with you this time round. I am so surprised. I'm really intrigued to get into this, but we'll get to that. But also I want to know why our JAWS users are happier than a Happy Meal these days. That's a joke in there.
And, namely you.
Mainly me, yes. This doesn't apply to me at the moment, but it does apply to you. It does apply to you.
It will. Mm. Yep.
We'll get into that. And also Devinda's here from the Technology for Life team to share with us the most accessible and techie way to make a cup of tea. Oh, how British is this? I'm so excited about this one. And you know, it is so timely as well when we get into this. I'm so excited to hear all about the Breville One Cup dispenser. We're going to hear about that today and how it works. Devinda's here, as I say, from the Technology for Life team to share his thoughts on that. I've just bought one, which is why this is so timely.
Of course.
Of course, yeah. Well, the funny thing, this is how bad it is in my house for parcels, right? I actually found it in amongst parcels that had been opened, and there was a box that hadn't been opened, and I opened it up, and there was a Breville one cup dispenser. I forgot I'd bought this, and it had been delivered and sitting there for I don't know how long. I have to say, I probably give the impression that I'm like a hoarder. You know, someone who just sits within a mountain of boxes. That's partially true, but it's not entirely
true. Well, it was until you got rid of all the boxes, and you know, maybe it's only partially true, but it was completely true.
Got a guy who he comes to the house with his big van, and he takes all the stuff away. He's a lovely guy, and it's brilliant. It's just so good, and it means I can buy more stuff. So it's great.
You know, my wife recently did that. She was going through some boxes that we had sitting just inside our front door in the foyer, and she was emptying them and breaking them down, and she opened up one, and she's like, oh, what is this? And then she got all excited because it was, again, like you, things that she had purchased that she had completely forgotten about, couldn't find, and just kind of figured she would never see again, and or see at all, I should say. And she was so excited. I was like, really? Don't you know you order these things?
Well, I'm exactly
just
the same.
Can't keep track.
And as I sit here, I actually have two boxes that have not yet been opened.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, I think I'm proving my own thing here. And more of your emails. Yeah, plenty of you, as I thought might be the case. Lots of you have much to say on a lot of what we're doing. Of course, Tim, since you've been away, Andy has gone. Emails Andy has gone on to Pastures News. So we have replaced him with a robot.
That sounds like he was a sheep who's now been replaced with a robot. Pastures New. Sorry, carry on.
Well, yeah, that's one way of looking at it. Yeah, that is indeed a way to look at it. So we'll get into all that.
Never mind. I have a joke, but I'm not going to even go there. I just no.
Well, listen, you're self-censoring. That's absolutely cool. All right, well, look, before we get into all of that, let's talk about Apple, of course, because it is the big news of the moment. And as this program goes out, it will be before the event. But, of course, many of you I know listen on podcasts through the week and on our Saturday edition when the show is repeated on a Saturday afternoon. But by which point there will have been the event happen.
How did it go?
Yeah, exactly.
Was it good?
Well, let's plan this. So it was the best event ever. It was the worst event I've ever seen. How could they do that? You know what? It was okay. There you go. That covers everything. I think that covers all bases of the Apple.
It's all very timey-wimey.
Yeah. What are we looking forward to? What is the product? Because we know an iPhone 13 is coming out. We know there'll be an Apple Watch.
Four iPhone 13s.
Yeah, four iPhone 13s. What is it? Series 8 we're up to on the watch?
Series 7.
Seven, is it? Series 7 on the watch. Possibly new AirPods.
Yeah, AirPod 3s.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's maybe, right. AirPods finally. 3, AirPods Pro 2, maybe.
Maybe.
I'm concerned that the normal AirPods are going to have squidgy ends like the Pros, because I don't really want to put anything in my ear canal, just saying. So
That you may be able to replace those squishy ends like with the Pros. You could do it on the AirPod 3s, potentially. Mm. So we shall see. But yeah, that's something that I actually like. I'm okay with things that just kind of settle into my ear, but I do like a little bit more, I don't know what the word would be, but just having it be a little bit more sturdy in there. So I don't mind it going in a little bit more. So I could be interested in that. But my wife just purchased me AirPods 2 last year. So I'm not really going to be ready for that yet.
Well, I've lost more AirPods than I care to even get into.
Well, there is that. Within the first few months, I ran my right one through the washer and then got a replacement online, and then that one got dirty, and I've got to figure out a way to clean it out. And yeah, they're a mess.
they're so finicky. And the funny thing is you can get these little cords that you can attach to each one. So it has this little cup, essentially, you put the AirPod in, and then you can essentially have a neck tie, or whatever you want to call it, a neck, what's the word I'm looking for?
Cord.
Cord, that's it. A little cord that goes around your neck. And
almost like what
in.
You would put on the ends of your glasses to keep them around your neck.
Of course, the flip side to that is you can't put them back in the case with the cord on.
Right.
So, useless.
Have you got ones that go over the bulgy bit then? Because mine just slip up the collar, slip up
that's
the
That's right, but that's the problem,
stem.
Right? So if they slip up the
seconds?
Stem... Yeah, you can take them off, but then the problem is if you drop the AirPod whilst you're doing it, as I've done, and then ran a chair over it, trying to find it, you know.
Now, I have to say, Robin's trying to be so efficient and so just great about this. As you and I discussed, Robin, when you were trying to give me advice on clicking on links in on my phone, you know, the who's got 2 seconds to copy things or take little sleeves off the bits of the AirPods to put them in the case? I mean, geez,
you need to slow down and enjoy life.
But it's funny because I have a lot of
devices. We should be actually making our lives harder so that we don't, you know, so easily get out of our comfort zone.
Oh yeah, because our lives are so easy as it is.
But mine are luminous, guys. What could be better than that? Except they're always in my pocket, so they never kind of get enough sunlight to glow in the dark. But yeah, luminous strap for your AirPods. Sorry. Yay.
Okay. Well, I mean, the problem is you have to take it off to put the AirPods back in the thing, so it's utterly pointless, in my view. I must admit, I'm with you on the AirPods thing, though, because I do have a pair of AirPods Pro. I love the AirPods Pro, except for the fact that mine's rattle, so I have that horrible... thing going on in one ear, which is really annoying.
And I don't think the mic sounds that good.
No, a lot
of
people,
testing we did when you first got them, I didn't think the mic was all that great.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting because I've been going through this whole thing of, as you know, guys, I love playing my truck game, which I can only really do when I'm having what I call a good eye day. And I've been looking for a decent headset that I can use with them on the PC. So any suggestions, please. I feel the Steel Arctis, I think, is the one that David Woodbridge talked about in his podcast.
Yeah, those are nice.
Those do seem quite nice. So I think he was talking about the Steel Arctis 5. So I might, any suggestions, though, please, a personal request from me. Let me know, because I'd be keen to hear what
email
you think.
Email in to help Stephen purchase something else. Yes.
Exactly, that's it.
Is a
suggest things for Stephen to buy.
is a good eye day followed by a bad eye week because you spent 8 hours driving across Europe. Okay.
Oh, it's a nightmare. I mean, the thing is, the past couple of weeks I've had some really bad headaches and stuff, and I just thought, I can't do this at all. And it really infuriates me. And the funniest thing about it is, because of the nature of the eye condition, which is kind of provoked by nystagmus, which is the bit where the eyes move all the time, because essentially my eyes are, you know, provoked and bullied by the nystagmus, I have to wait until my eyes relax in order for me to have any chance of enjoying the game. And the only way to solve that is with alcohol. So you essentially have to drunk drive in order to drive properly, which is ridiculous. Of course, I should point out at this point, it is a game. It's not real life. Everything's fine.
Oh, you had to spoil it. Sorry. This is going great. Blind drunk man driving a truck all throughout Europe. This is fantastic. Well, there's a reality show in there, I think.
Absolutely. Anyway, back to Apple. So, yeah, iPhone 13. is anybody going to buy an iPhone 13? I mean, I know people will. I don't mean generally, but I mean out of us.
They hope so.
Yeah, yeah, they've ordered, I think they'll sell like a few. I don't doubt they'll sell one or two. Yeah. But what about you two?
There might be someone in our house that, you know, my wife's using an 8 at the moment. It's difficult charging. Wi-Fi charging is fine, you know, wireless charging, but you need to be able to stick a cord in from time to time. So she might, but she likes the home button.
I can't. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yours is gone. You can't because you've got something wedged in the charging socket. Another bit of a lightning cable, I'm guessing.
Yeah, the very tip of a lightning cable broke off in my SE 2020. So I was using my iPhone 7 for a while, which doesn't charge the best.
Why did you use that and not just charge it up another way, Tim?
Well, you know, you see, you buy these things and you use them and you use them a certain way and you get used to that. And then you forget that maybe the SE 2020 has wireless charging and... wonderful people like Mr. Christofferson come and tell you, hey, you know, you could just charge that wirelessly. And
I'll be honest, though, that's not a crazy thing because I've got the iPhone 7 I am forever putting my iPhone 7 on a wireless charger, wondering what's wrong with it. And then I realize, oh, it's not got wireless in it. And it's funny, isn't it? Because it's like when I got the iPhone SE, the first thing I did was try to put it on my MagSafe charger, and of course it fell right off because it's not got MagSafe in it. And I'm like, oh, it doesn't have MagSafe in it. So then I had to buy a wireless charger. And you're thinking, oh, I hope I buy the right kind, because I remember when I tried out the iPhone 12 mini, I remember it wouldn't work on a wireless charger because it was too small for the regular-sized charger, which is, you know, and I'm talking about the ones that kind of stand up, you know, the kind of easel style. Yep. Obviously, if it's a flat mat, it's fine. But yeah, I mean, it's just so ridiculous. I wish they would just come up with one thing and just stick with it across the whole range. And you know what? Apple, please bring in USB-C for the iPhone 13. I'm sure they won't.
Nope.
No.
Or just get rid of it altogether. You know what? If you're going to muck around with it, just get rid of it.
I think even the early rumors and leaks for the 14 next year say it's still possibly going to be a lightning connector.
So, oh, come on.
Yeah.
The iPad Pro, though, it's got these really neat kind of tiny little indentations in a row, just little tiny dents that is what you connect the smart keyboard to, and that can power the keyboard. So I'm hoping that they'll have something at the bottom which is completely flush, but you just slide MagSafe something to the bottom of your phone, and it just lines up in the right place with all these, you know, little tiny nubbins so it can power it.
It'll be MagSafe that'll drive it, I think. Yeah. That will be the end result.
Which one are you buying, Stephen?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, I've decided to take all my iPhones to the store. I'll be a while. Apologies to all of you if you're behind me in the queue, because I'll have to trade everything in first before and then scoop up all my winnings and then decide to buy something. I'm thinking about the 13 Pro because I think the Pro Max is a lovely phone, but it's way too big. I was out today, actually, and I thought my hand was going to break off whilst trying to use it. It is just like having an iPad mini in your pocket. It's ridiculous. But I think the 13 is probably a nice size. 13 mini was just a bit small in some ways. So, yeah, I think the 13 is a sweet spot. And, of course, you want the Pro, right? So it'll be the 13 Pro for me, I don't doubt. And that'll be my, cool. my kind of daily driver phone, and I'll take back my 12 Pro Max and whatever else. The SE, I know, and some of them might be wondering what's happened to the SE. The SE went back to the store, and the reason being was because I just couldn't put up with the battery any longer. It was just, even in the house, I was getting annoyed by it. It just is not, it doesn't have the greatest of batteries in it. And I thought, you know what, I was in the period of I can still take it back, and I thought, I'm just taking it back. I don't need this. They might bring out an SE2. Not this year, I doubt. But maybe next year.
Technically, it would be an SE3.
Yeah,
2021. SE3, yeah.
21. Right. Or, I don't, you know what? And I've heard some people say that. I don't think there'll be another SE already. I could see one maybe coming out in the spring again in 2022 as a follow-up. But I think they're going to want to really focus on the iOS, the iPhone 13s. Mm. Plus, because they say this might be the last year they do the 4 phones, you know, the two, you know, the big and small, you know, 13 and then the Pro, you know, Max and regular. So, you know, if they kind of switch that up next year, then there might be some room for an SE 2022. So I could see that. But you know what, for me, to answer your original question from way back, I mean, my wife doesn't need one, and she tries hard not to upgrade often. I love to upgrade often, but since I have the SE 2020, I don't see a reason here. I mean, the 120 hertz, you know, the refresh rate on the screen, great. I can't see it. Smaller notch, I don't care. You know, still gonna have a bump for the camera. I don't care. Better camera, I mean, that's fantastic, but for me personally, I don't care. Still no Touch ID. That might be next year that they put it under the screen to go with Face ID and Touch ID. So maybe next year. So yeah, I mean, there's nothing here for me now. For people who really get into taking photos and using the camera and care about some of those aesthetics, then yeah, it's going to be fantastic. And visually, it should be really, really nice. All of our Android listeners are going, 120 refresh, we've had that. But yeah, okay. But
and Touch, you know, ID under the screens. Yeah.
And Touch ID under screens. Right. And that's the thing. And I get it. I do. But it's, I don't know. It just, there's nothing within the leaks and rumors so far that really move me to want to get the iPhone 13. If I had vision and I was, you know, heavily into video and doing photos and things, I might. I might do it. But my SE 2020 is fine for me, and really wonderful now because of the battery issue. I know what you're talking about, but, you know, once I started just throwing it on a wireless charging mat or block, it 2 days ago, yeah.
When you discovered wireless charging.
When I somehow wonderfully discovered that it could wirelessly charge, yeah. It's so much easier than plugging it in, yeah.
Well,
so,
according to research from Uswitch, 10 million people, that's almost a fifth of mobile users in the UK, plan to get an iPhone 13 in the next 12 months. That's a lot of people. 4 million are set to buy one as soon as they come out, which I think is quite incredible. Well, I had a chat this week with Catherine Hiley from Uswitch to find out more about the research, and in particular, the things that customers want in their new iPhones this year.
Our research showed that a lot of people are really interested in battery life. So that's a massive pain point for a lot of users. So a third of the people we surveyed said that they really want to see improved battery life, just to make sure that their phone can definitely last the day full of heavy usage without crashing midway through.
But another area, of course, is cost. And this is perhaps a bigger issue, and it's certainly one that Uswitch, you know, as an organization, does deal with, and that is cost. A lot of people want the iPhones this year to be cheaper than last year's models.
Well, yes, again, that's no surprise, really. I mean, Apple you know, brand new iPhones don't generally tend to be cheap. But on the plus side, you know, like we said, so many people are looking to buy the phone as soon as it comes out. So it's clearly not putting off everybody. But yes, a lot of people would love to see it a bit more affordable.
Now, it's interesting because we obviously know that Apple bring out lots of new features in their phones. But there's one thing that's actually inside the box that will probably not be there this time around, and a lot of people want back, and that is the charger in the box with their new mobiles. A lot of people want that back.
Yes, absolutely. So Apple decided to leave the charger out of the box last year, which their thinking behind it was that it meant that they could ship the book, the boxes would be smaller, so they could ship more per container, which meant that it just reduced their carbon footprint. And on top of that, of course, they're manufacturing fewer chargers. Therefore, again, that reduces their carbon footprint a bit. And the thinking behind it was most iPhone users already have a working charger, therefore they don't need that extra one. But again, a lot of people are used to getting chargers with their new phone and kind of see it as a staple of that purchase. So a lot of people were disappointed in that move.
Yeah, it was also interesting research. Half of Apple skeptics, I didn't know that was a thing, but there you go, say iPhones are overpriced and 2/5 say they are overrated. So some people clearly not fans.
Yes, a lot of people are, like you said, not Apple fans. But again, it's that kind of thing where, you know, I think a lot of people are quite wedded to the operating software they use. So I'm an Android fan. I've always had Samsung phones. I really like them. And therefore, you know, I'm not as likely to get, you know, if this wasn't my job, I wouldn't perhaps get quite as excited about the iPhone launch. Whereas on the flip side, you know, Apple fans, you know, aren't necessarily that into Android devices. So there is a bit of a divide. But yes, a lot of those people, Apple skeptics, are probably, you know, the majority of them would be Android users, I would have thought.
Mm. But of course, there are cheaper options. U-Switch, of course, is all about saving money. You know, do you advise people on other ways they can save money through either going into contracts, looking at renewed options, looking at alternative smartphones? It doesn't, you don't have to buy Apple, right?
Absolutely. So there are loads of, you know, more competitively priced alternatives. And even Apple themselves have the iPhone SE, which is a much more affordable option. And again, that's only just over a year old. So, you know, that's still a really affordable but competitive option. But, you know, there are loads and loads of different smartphones around. You know, all you need to do is just do a quick price comparison check to find one that suits you. But there's loads of options out there that are really competitively priced.
Catherine Hiley from U-Switch talking to me this week. And yeah, it's interesting to hear what people are looking for in their new phones, guys, isn't it? That, you know, they want the better battery life. They want the charger bag. That's never going to happen, is it?
No.
that's gone.
I wonder if battery life is quite so important now with home working and, you know, general sort of
lockdownness. I thought that as well. I thought it wouldn't matter to me as much. I'm sitting here, by the way, as I'm talking to you, I'm unboxing one of the things I got. I am so excited because, you know, one of the things that came in that box, just to move on the conversation slightly, one of the things that was in that box that I got was my Batman mouse mat. I'm so excited about my Batman mouse mat. Oh, so cool. I don't know if it's real or fake or what. I don't know, but I don't care. It's Batman. It's one of those big... You get these mouse mats now. They're huge, right? They're not mouse mats. They're like table mats. I could have my dinner off this thing. A dessert. I could probably get a three-course meal on it. It's huge. You've got the keyboard there and you've got the little bit for the mouse mat, but the Batman's on it as well. Anyway, sorry, that's a complete aside.
That's cool. Will that work with my new keyboard, Stephen?
Yes, absolutely. You should buy one.
Ooh, I might.
I don't know.
I don't know
what this box says on it, so I don't know if it is an official thing. Probably not. Who cares, right? I mean, let's be honest.
We will talk later, yes.
Yes, absolutely. This is nice. Anyway, yes, where were we? So, yes, we're not getting the charger back anytime soon. You can forget that. But look, we are going to get into more on this next week. Let's not spoil it for those who already know the answers and are saying, oh, come on. They brought back the charger and they've made the phones. They've got under... floor heating or whatever it is. You've got everything now.
Apple glasses.
Apple glass was launched. What an amazing day that was. Yeah, exactly.
That could be something, yes.
Yeah, I somehow doubt it. But you never know. You never know with Apple. But we will, of course, have all the information for you on next week's programme. Anyway, back to this.
News from the internet.
Yes, news from the internet this week. And a big story if you're a JAWS user. I made that joke at the top, if you can call it a joke. Why are JAWS users happier than a Happy Meal these days? Well, that's because McDonald's have partnered with Vispero, the company that creates JAWS, the screen reader, to provide access to blind and low vision people in US self-order kiosks. Now, when you go into McDonald's, you get presented with a huge iPad in front of you that you can order your food on. And when I say huge iPad, I mean it's like a 42-inch TV on its side, and it's all touchscreen. And when you go in, you have to use that. You don't have to use it. You can, of course, still go to the till, but let's be frank about it. We all know where this is going. Automation is taking over everything. Even here on Tech Talk, one of our people has been replaced by a robot already, right? So I mean, it's
eventually,
happening everywhere.
So will we.
Well, yeah, do you think they can replace us? Can you replace this kind of personality with a robot?
I would hope to say no, but yeah, we'll see.
Okay, that doesn't sound very comforting, if I'm totally honest about it. But yeah, so this is a really interesting story, guys. I mean, it does mean that we're starting to see that the Jaws is moving away from, not away from, but moving into new areas. And this is something which is clearly needed. And it does allow someone to go up and use one of these self-service kiosks. Now, US only. So, Tim, you get the first shot at this one. What do you think about this? Are you pleased about this? Does this mean this is where you'll be going even more than you've been before?
I don't know if I could go to McDonald's any more than I do. Well, wait, yes, I could. I could go as much as you do.
I don't get there anymore. I don't live anywhere near
I
one.
Know, you haven't. Oh, I can't believe you've survived.
The Uber driver does all the button pressing.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
You know what, though? What I like about this is that, like you said, not only is Vispero with Jaws branching out of, you know, the PC market, and they have done this before with other types of kiosks at airports and other types of third-party machines, but what I like about this idea is those people who either aren't able or can't stand in line, or maybe they just haven't gotten to a smartphone yet where they can use an app. Because honestly, that's what my wife and I do. We'll be out and about, and she'll just go into the app, whether it's McDonald's or any other restaurant, order our food, tell them that we'll pick it up when we get there. It's all contactless. So, you know, we open the window to the back seat, they set it in the car, and we drive off, you know. So, I mean, it works really nicely, especially during the pandemic. But if you don't have a cell phone, or I really should say, I don't have a smartphone, maybe you're not comfortable. We've had those emails where people talk about they just want a phone that does what a phone does. They don't want or need anything else. So I like how this can bridge that divide where you can go to the counter, you can use an app, or you can go to the kiosk and you know that it's going to be accessible. So for me, that's the important part, is actually, believe it or not, for once, walking up to a kiosk and knowing it's going to work, that you will be able to utilize it, unlike, you know, maybe your bank or something else. So I like the idea.
Yeah, I mean, Jaws has been available for public kiosks for many years now. At AbilityNet, we've worked with organizations in their implementation. So I think the big news story here is that it's McDonald's doing it, which is absolutely brilliant. And let's hope they get lots of coverage, because the main thing is knowing that the kiosk can be, you know, you can turn the speech on, because, you know, unless the staff know that that's possible, or unless you've heard that it is and you know how to turn it on, then it might as well not be there. So yeah, it seems the timing is slightly unfortunate, in as much as Tim just said, you know, 9 times out of 10 there's an app. I mean, we were in Pizza Hut the other day, you sit down at the table and you can only order online, whether that's through the yep. website or the app. You do your thing, you know, and they just bring it to your table, and that was nice and accessible as well. So you know, have they kind of missed the boat, or is it choice? You know, choice is a good thing. So yeah, if you haven't got a smartphone, like Tim says, or you just want to give it a go, brilliant, if you're in the States, of course.
Well, I mean, obviously it would be easier and far more mainstream and far more inclusive, I think, if a company can develop an app and make it accessible and then use that as part of their service, because that has to work for everybody. This is exactly as you say. It's the same problem. We've had it here in the UK with the accessible ATM machines, the cash machines, which have got these little headphone ports, and you can plug in a headset and you can, you know, use the cash machine and it will speak back to you. But the problem has been, there have been situations where the software has never been installed on the device. Mm-hmm. Meaning you can plug in the headset and it appears as if it's not working. It actually is working. It's just that it's not been installed, so it's not able to work, is the problem. So
The worst thing there is, if it's touchscreen, you could be touching away to try and work out, you know, what's going on, and accidentally do something. So yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
changing your PIN number. Yourself- 25 Big Macs at changing a PIN number or something. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. But I think that this is a good step forward. I don't think that it's too little too late. I think that in this case, because it is more of a mainstream situation, I think that it will get good press. It has gotten good press. And I think that more and more companies, at least I hope more and more, will get on the bandwagon. I mean, it's only been not even, a year and a half or so, or a couple of years, that we've had other establishments in the news that absolutely refuse to do anything accessible with their app or their phone number or their restaurants. And at least here in the States, have gone all the way to the Supreme Court over it and still don't want to change anything. So it's nice to see a company in a restaurant say, you know what? No, we're going to have an app that's accessible, a website that is accessible. They've usually got Braille menus, large print menus, and now an accessible kiosk. So I'm all for it. I think it's a really good move.
Yeah, I do too. Windows 11 also, just a quick note on it. There's been a blog post that's been put up by Microsoft. So if you follow any of us on Twitter, you can certainly get it from me at Blind Guy Tech. You can follow me on Twitter. I have posted a link to this particular article, which focuses on the new features of Windows 11 that will be more accessible. It does seem in some ways this is very much an upgrade. It is not, or what does it say, evolution as opposed to revolution. I think that's the phrase people use today.
A couple of notable points.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Just very quickly. So,
Windows subsystem. Jumping in.
Windows subsystem for Linux. So you can run Linux apps on Windows 11. I mean, Windows subsystem for Linux has been around for a while, but now they're offering third-party, or they're assuring third-party support for the GUI version. So this is, you know, graphical Linux apps as opposed to the command line, will be supported by third-party screen readers, or potentially anyway. I guess it would depend on the accessibility of the app, but that support is there. The big thing for me, though,
is it not?
Well, if you're into Linux, or there's a Linux app that you want to run, you know, you can now emulate that in Windows 10 and 11, and it will speak to you. Which
so the
comes
answer
to
you're
next...
looking for, Robin, is yes. Yes, it is niche.
Okay. But okay, what's
I don't want to. Well, we might get email. We might get email. Linux is a massive community.
It is.
But
it is. Yeah.
The main thing for Windows 11 is Android support. That's not coming on release. They look forward to giving us further announcements in the coming months about their partnership with Amazon to bring Android apps to Windows 11. So we're not going to get that at the beginning, guys.
The one thing that stood out for me in this article, it's actually near the top of it, is these new Windows sound themes. They're bringing in different sound themes. Now, this is something which Vespero go on about a lot at the moment. I don't know if any of you follow the chats on Clubhouse. Matt Ater and Eric Damery and the team at Vespero are often on Clubhouse talking about the wonderful new features. And we haven't actually got to this yet, but there have been new announcements for JAWS 2022, which we will get into in the coming weeks. And we'll try and get someone on from JAWS to talk about some of these, because it's always good to know what's coming, right? But it's interesting to see that one area that Microsoft talk about a lot, and Vespero do too, is sound themes. And they're bringing in these accessible light and dark themes. This is a visual thing, obviously, but they're bringing in sounds to go with it. The interesting thing here is, from the visual perspective, and I know this only too well because I am very light sensitive, that, you know, sometimes you'll go to a web page or you'll go to an app and you'll get this flash of light, or you'll go to a page which is white, white background with black text, and that can be really, really disorientating, especially if you're used to working in a dark-themed area. So for people with low vision, who have issues with light, or even if you, it doesn't even have to be people with low vision, right? You could have very little vision at all, but a little bit of light perception, this could impact. So being able to turn on these dark themes and for actually to work across everything is actually really important. But the sound part is interesting as well. So you essentially get an audio version of it. I'll be really intrigued to see, or hear, I should say, how that works. There's also more discussion around bringing in more AI-based dictation through Windows voice typing. I think since the acquisition of Nuance, a lot of people are hoping that, you know, Dragon will just become part of Windows and that'll be the end of it. And then it'll be perfect, right? At least that's the theory.
Hopefully.
But yeah, Yeah, hopefully.
Except Dragon isn't perfect.
Exactly, but it's probably a damn sight closer to where people want to be than where it is at the moment, I would say. But yeah, interesting. And of course, the big thing, the big headline really, is the name change. So no longer is it called Ease of Access Settings. They now call it Accessibility, and they have introduced a new Accessibility Human icon. I mean, ease of use always felt a bit weird to me in some ways. I just didn't really know what it meant.
Mm-hmm. They were trying to broaden out the, you know, applicability so more people would have a dig around.
Just confuse more people, I think, than solve. But accessibility is becoming a word that people are more aware of, and it is a universal phrase and word, so it does seem more appropriate.
Yeah, I think the fear before is using the word accessibility, and this still happens, I would think, that people who maybe don't have a disability or don't feel that they have a disability feel that that's not applicable to them. And like you were saying, Stephen, maybe that is changing and people are realizing, well, just because it says accessibility doesn't mean that I can't use it. I can change the colors of the screen or use a darker, you know, dark mode or something like that, or use VoiceOver and have something read to you, you know, or somebody has some hearing loss. I mean, it can apply whether you have been personally diagnosed specifically with a disability or not. And so I think it's a good move for Microsoft to change it, because ease of access, I think that's what they were trying to do, is not use accessibility so that people felt like it could be used for them. But it's beyond that. I think that they just need to embrace accessibility.
Okay, well, I want to move on to another story. And this is Facebook, who have announced the launch of their own smart glasses in association with the company Ray-Ban. So if you bought Portal, if you've got that at home, which is the video calling device, well, you can now have, I guess, Portal on your face, should you wish. Yes, this is the first smart glasses with a pair of cameras. Yes, I said cameras. Everyone sits up and says, hello, cameras.
Not one, but two.
To take photos and videos, a microphone and a speaker to listen to podcasts, and a voice assistant.
Invading your privacy times two, yes.
And a voice assistant to let you do the whole thing hands-free. So this is quite interesting, at least in the sense of the product. I'm not entirely sure that this is what we're... I mean, everyone immediately, as I did, thought, oh, finally, I can use Be My Eyes without having to pull my phone out. I don't think that's necessarily what we're talking about here. It seems to me, from my understanding, the cameras are just for taking short videos that then send to your phone via one specific app on the device. I think you can do Facebook calls through it and stuff, but you can't do video calls. That's not going to work, is it?
Yeah, my understanding is that it's for photos and, of course, like you said, short videos that you can either save to your camera roll or obviously upload directly to your Facebook account. So, yeah, it makes it nice and easy to do that. It does have some onboard memory, I believe, so you can save some things and then upload them to your phone later. But yeah, it's going to be proprietary, I believe. I mean, I'm hoping to be proved wrong, but everything that I've read about this seems like it's going to be very Facebook proprietary, which doesn't surprise me. That's what I would expect it to be. It's basically, you know, dumbed down Oculus, and I hate to say it that way because I don't mean it in a bad way, but it's just, it's a camera in Ray-Ban sunglasses, and there's what, four or five different varieties or styles, I should say. And I don't know that I'm really in for this. If I was a younger person taking photos all the time and, you know, putting them on social media like crazy, then maybe, but I just don't know.
Well, you both are fans of the Bose frames, as am I, actually, the three of us are. So, Robin, this seems like a natural progression, doesn't it?
If I could hope that they would open up the API or the kind of system to broader use of the cameras, for other third-party apps, and the price was maybe 60% of what it is, I would be there like a shot.
Yeah, £299, $299. It's a lot of money. But look, let's be frank about this. The privacy arguments that are going to be around this camera are going to be in full flow already, right? So there's no chance that this is ever going to be available to, you know, get out to APIs. I mean, that's just not going to happen.
Maybe.
Not yet. Not in this form, maybe.
Not in this form, and I don't think Facebook wants it to be open, quite honestly. They want you to post those videos and pictures to Instagram, to Facebook, to companies that they own, apps and social service or social media services that they own. So they're not going to be very quick to say, oh yeah, open it up and put it on, you know, put these photos on Twitter instead of Facebook. I don't see that happening. And especially giving you the access to the camera to use it with other third-party apps that aren't even anything to do with social media. I just don't know. It would be fantastic if they did. And I would be a lot more interested in it if they did. But I just don't see Facebook doing that. I think that would defeat the entire business model and purpose of what they probably are trying to do here.
Well, let's see what happens when it comes out. Yeah, WhatsApp, yeah. And again, Facebook Live potentially as well. Anyway, look, let's move on because so much more to talk about. We want to get to your emails as well. But before that, I want to bring in Devinder from RNIB's Technology for Life team, who's here this week to tell us all about how to make a cup of tea the accessible way.
Hey there. I've got a refreshing technology piece today. Why is it refreshing? Well, because I'm in the kitchen and I'm going to be making a hot drink. And I don't know about yourselves, but I do enjoy a good hot drink. So what's this piece of technology? This is the Breville Hot Cup Water Dispenser. Breville is spelled B-R-E-V-I-L-L-E. And what it does is similar to what a kettle does, which is gives hot water. But it does it in a different way. So whereas a kettle, one would pop the water in, lift it and pour into a cup. And you can use accessories like liquid level indicator. Well, this one, you do the same process, except you pop the actual top kettle part of it into the base. It stays seated and it does the rest for you. It boils and through water pressure pours for you. And I'll do a demonstration of it, but I'll just describe the unit for you. It's glossy black and it's got a base, which with the handle is at the back of the unit. So at 12 o'clock. And the pouring spout is towards us at 6 o'clock, closest to where I'm standing. At the top, towards the back, at the 12 o'clock position, above the handle is a button that when you press, elevates the lid, lifts it up, so you pour the water in, drop that down. And then working towards me, closest to me, if I work my way, say, towards the front of the spout at 6 o'clock, right at the very top is a button. And it's a simple push button where button is, I would say, rectangular with soft edges. Closest to me at 6 o'clock at the bottom of it is where it's flat and it's off. At the 12 o'clock at the top of that button is a raised dome and you push it down, it illuminates blue. So for those with partial sight, we'll see it's on. And for those who are blind, and we can see and feel that it's okay in that respect. So in terms of the unit itself, it's a 3 kilowatt, 1.5 litre. So plenty of cups for those of you who drink a few that the day. And at the bottom of the unit where it sits, just underneath the spout, is a metal tray, which has a plastic base where if there's any overspillage, it will go into it. So let's do a little demonstration. If I've got a cup of, say, anything, let's just say a cup of water in this case, I'm going to do two demonstrations. Option one is going to have no liquid level indicator. And then demonstration two will have a liquid level indicator. So prepare yourselves for a beep on that one. So what I'm doing is just to be mindful, something to be aware, the cup I'm using is not a mug. It's not very big, but it's not a small cup. I'd say it's a medium size cup because one thing to be aware of this unit is it sends out a fixed amount of water. So just take that into consideration. What I'm doing is pop the cup onto the metal base. Now the spout is just above that. Feel my way to the front and top of the unit, and I'm just going to push the button down. Right, so I've pushed that down, and this is going from cold water, so you now start to hear it boil. That's how loud it is. Now, I'm free to do whatever I want, and this is the other advantage. I could, you know, be preparing something else. And it's close to now reaching its boiling point. And you'll hear, it'll start to steam in a second. Ah, hey presto, done. So what happened there was, as it started to boil, the water pressure came out, it started to pour, and that's it. The pressure, and it stopped itself at a certain level. All mechanical, no issues. So I've popped that down. Now I'm going to do the same demonstration, just to give an audible explanation in terms of where the water's come in and how it does it. And just to demonstrate that it does work within the levels, I'll put the liquid level indicator on. So I'll do the same process. Cup is now under the spout, on the metal tray. Push the button down. That's illuminated blue. And then it's going to start to boil. And you can hear it's just going to its boil. And now, because I've just boiled a cup of water, the first one was from cold. This one is the second cup. It should be a little bit quicker. And as we go, it's now, I'd say in the next 4 or 5 seconds, it's going to start to boil and you'll hear it come out. There it goes. It's just about to steam. And there we have it. So in this particular cup, for those that could hear, it's just between the two top level of the where you'd put your milk in and everything else. So it's just pretty much where I want it to be. So I think for anyone who's interested in such a device, it gives you that freedom. For people who would want something that I think is really refreshing in terms of, you know, you can feel independent, do it with or without liquid level indicator. It's quite safe. I've really enjoyed it. And that is the Breville Hot Cup Water Dispenser. Thank you.
Thank you, Davinder. And of course, you can get more information about RNIB's Technology for Life team by visiting rnib.org.uk. Call the team on 0303 123 9999 between 9 and 5 during the week to get your tech questions answered. And you can also email them at any time, TFL, short for Technology for Life, at rnib.org.uk. And that Breville is available at a range of high street stores such as Argos and Currys, as well as online at Amazon. Prices range from £30 to £50 depending on where you shop and when. Right, guys, time for this.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
And it's read out by a robot.
Here's your mail today.
Yes, back to the emails, and lots and lots of your emails coming in, as always. Thank you so much for sending them in. Let's get right into the first email that comes to us courtesy of Jerry, who got in touch with us. Jerry.
Hi, Tech Talkers. I have an A-lady problem that you may be able to help me with. I have 3 dots, 1 first generation and 2 second generation. About a month ago, one of the second generations stopped playing any BBC radio channels. The other two continued playing as usual. It just plays the program for about a minute but then cuts out. I have taken it back to factory settings and checked the settings on the app, all to no avail. One puzzling aspect of this is that if I Bluetooth it to a speaker before it cuts out, it plays normally on the speaker. My wife has gone on the net and has found some information saying it is a problem with the way BBC Sounds is now delivering its service. Any ideas on how I can sort out this issue? I enjoy your program, but mainly the crack, as I am a blind shell classic user. Most of the tech stuff is not applicable to me. Hmm. Regards, Jerry Harris.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. I think I'm going to send that question right off to our dot-to-dot guy. That is Robin Christofferson. Robin.
Hey, the Dot to Dot podcast was featured on Amazon's website this week in the Accessibility Hub.
Hey, get on with it.
unfortunately, it is BBC Sounds. That's the problem. So all I can say is, until they sort it out, use a different radio player. So I would recommend MyTuner Radio. So if you say, ask MyTuner Radio to play BBC Radio 4, Radio 5 Live, whatever it is you want to say. Obviously, you can set up a routine as well, guys. You can say, A-lady, when I say it's Radio 4 time, play BBC Radio 4 on MyTuner Radio. And you can actually set up a whole routine that way. And then from then on, you can just say the phrase that you would prefer to say. So yeah, MyTuner Radio works fine with Radio 4 on a stereo pair.
Yeah, I must admit, I've had exactly the same problem with a couple of radio apps as well on the Echo. I had it last night, actually. I started listening to something, it just cut off. And then when I started asking it to play again, it just took it right from the beginning, which, you know, I was about halfway into a 3-hour program and I couldn't really be bothered going back through it all again. So, yeah, it does seem to be an issue. There seems to be some kind of buffering issue or something going on with these devices. And interestingly, I remember we've had emails in before from people with the same issue around books as well. It does happen. It seems to be a challenge. Hopefully they can resolve it. Okay, well, thank you for that, Jerry. Thank you for your email. Also, Ennis got in touch with us.
I am using an iPhone SE 2020 and have just bought the Orbit Writer. I managed, with the help of a member of the Technology for Life team, to connect the Orbit to my phone and have managed to send email, text messages and to do a supermarket shop online using the Orbit. I am having difficulty working out how to key in numbers on the writer and hope you can advise. I am also having difficulty keying in capital letters and wonder if I have got the setting correct under Braille in VoiceOver. I looked on Apple Viz but couldn't find anything about my queries, so I really hope you can help. I am using contracted Braille input. Thank you for your excellent shows. Best wishes, Ennis.
Well, Ennis, we have not got the expertise here, but I did get in touch with Paul Porter over at the Technology for Life team to see if he could help us out with an answer to this. Here's his response.
Hello, this is Paul Porter from your NAB Reading Services team. Just for a quick answer to Ennis's question regarding inputting Braille on an Orbit on an iPhone SE 20. The same principle should apply to pretty much any iPhone and any Braille display that you're using as input/output. When you're creating a text message, for example, you simply press the number sign, which of course is dots 3, 4, 5, 6. Then you type in the numbers, so A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, etc. When you're in the body of a text message or a document or an email, whatever it might be, to create a capital letter, you press dot 6, and then the next character you type in will be capitalised. If you want to capitalise the word, you press dot 6 twice, and the whole word is capitalised. Then when you press space, it goes back to lowercase. I hope this answers your question, but any comments, feel free to come back with any more questions.
Okay, thank you for that, Paul. I have a feeling you're going to get some more questions out of that. That doesn't sound like it's going to solve Ennis's problem.
I've got
problem.
A feeling Ennis would have known how to do capitals and numbers almost.
Well, yeah.
Check it's on UEB under the Braille settings as well.
Yeah, something in the settings that's probably preventing that. I must admit, I had a similar problem with my Braille display as well. It wouldn't do that, but you know, I just came to the conclusion I was an idiot. Right, Maria got in touch with us. Yeah, I think that's probably the truth. Let's be honest about it. Maria got in touch from Australia to say hello, and here is her question.
Hi, Tech Talk team. Firstly, I would like to say how much my friend and I enjoy your show. I am writing on behalf of my friend Dave from Manchester in the UK. He is blind and has recently had a stroke. This leaves him unable to use a keyboard. He has encountered a rather frustrating problem with the Amazon shopping app on his iPhone SE 2020. When he tries to open the app, all he gets to hear with VoiceOver is the status bar. It's like the app doesn't open and no other information can be accessed on the screen. Everything is there visually, but the app can't be accessed by VoiceOver. We were wondering if any of your listeners have found an answer to this problem? Is there some setting that needs to be changed? Thanks, Maria from Australia.
Thank you, Maria. First thoughts from me would be screen recognition on the device.
Definitely.
I was thinking the same thing, that screen recognition, graphic recognition shouldn't probably come into factor here, but screen recognition can completely deconstruct an app, sometimes making it much better, sometimes making it garbled, and sometimes just making things disappear. So yeah, definitely check to make sure that's turned off in the settings for VoiceOver. Otherwise, I mean, the obvious thing that you would say first, of course, is make sure the app is up to date. It was amazing how out of date all the apps were when I went back to my iPhone 7 for that week or so that I couldn't charge. I had something happen I'd never seen before where apps updated twice. So I'd hit update and it would load it, and then it would act like it was going to open, and then it would say update again, and I had to do it a second time. So absolutely make sure that you've got the very latest update. But Yeah, other than screen recognition, I don't know what else would cause that unless there's just voiceovers getting stuck somewhere.
I think it's screen recognition, but I didn't know that screen recognition... Is that on by default? Is that...
So, it depends, because you can have it in the rotor, and if it's in the rotor, you should be able to flick it on and off per app.
Mm.
But if an app... if you've got it in the rotor and you accidentally... you think you're on characters, so you swipe up or down because you want to go through a character at a time, but for whatever reason it's gone onto the screen recognition item in the rotor and you've turned on screen recognition, if all you can then see is the status bar, you are stuffed, basically. Mm. You cannot then flick it off again. So as Tim said, it's so easy to do. So as Tim said, go to the voiceover settings, go down to screen recognition, tap on, I think it's called apps, and in there you've got a list, and you basically need to disable screen recognition on an app by app basis and see if the Amazon app is in there.
Okay. I actually got to the point where I took it out of the rotor because I had one too many times where I accidentally turned it on and it just was too much hassle to have to go and do exactly what you said, Robin. So I just took it out of the rotor and I do it on a case by case basis. So I would check that first. If that doesn't work, definitely let us know.
I want to get this one final email in this week. Lots of you have been emailing him and I apologize. We haven't gotten to all of them this week, but here's one I do want to get in from Gordon.
Dear Tech Talkers, I was never very good at grammar, so I could never tell the difference between a pronoun and a preposition, but if you are going to get a robot TTS to read this email, can you use a male Scottish voice? Good luck finding one of those. Anyway, I thought I'd let you know about an update to SkyQ which is being rolled out at the moment. If you turn on voice guidance, and then use the speech button on your remote to say, audio description content, a new screen will pop up which lists all the upcoming programs which have audio description. They are divided into what Sky call racks, so you can move through categories to find the type of program you want to watch. Some categories have subcategories, but it's very easy to navigate. Just use the up, down, left and right buttons on the remote. When you find a program you'd like to watch, pressing select brings up the recording options. This is a really fantastic new feature which means all the AD content is together on one page. Check out your SkyQ box. If this isn't available yet, it's coming soon as it is a gradual rollout process.
Well, Gordon, that is a fantastic email to end on and a fantastic new feature in SkyQ. I just love the way they're bringing these features in, just eking them in, which is absolutely brilliant. That is such an important feature. Guys, we're out of time, but it's been so good having you back with us. Tim, Robin, as always, thank you. And we will be back next week discussing all things Apple. You never know. Sean Preece may even come along for the ride. I think the phrase he used was, it depends on what they announce. I think he'll
I'm
be
a little
excited,
bit excited
anyway. I'm overly excited. I'm so excited. Cannot wait. We'll get into all next week here on Tech Talk. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you again next time. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.